Hey, it's Drex from This Week Health Cyber and Risk Community, and I want to invite you to our next webinar. It's going to focus on what else? Defending health data. I'll be chatting with experts from Rubrik and Microsoft. Register right now at thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. That's all one string, R-U-B-R-I-K webinar, thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. See you online soon.
Today in Health IT, the FTC strikes down non-compete agreements, and the AHA isn't happy. Today, we're going to look at that. My name is Bill Russell. I'm a former CIO for a 16-hospital system and creator of This Week Health, a set of channels and events dedicated to transform healthcare one connection at a time. We want to thank our show sponsors who are investing in developing the next generation of health leaders, notable ServiceNow, Enterprise Health, Parlance, Certify Health, and Panda Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. Hey, these new stories and all new stories we cover on the show, you can find on our website, thisweekhealth.com/news. Check it out. Finally, mentor someone. Share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Use it as a foundation for daily or weekly discussions on the topics that are relevant to you and the industry. They can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, we're going to go straight to these stories. We'll start with the FTC story. I'm going to pull this one from NPR. Federal Trade Commission narrowly voted Tuesday to ban nearly all non-competes, employment agreements that typically prevent workers from joining competing businesses or launching ones of their own. The FTC received more than 26,000 public comments in the months leading up to the vote. Chair Lina Khan referenced on Tuesday some of the stories she had heard from workers. We heard from employees who, because of non-competes, were stuck in abusive workplaces. She said one person noted when an employer merged with an organization whose religious principles conflicted with their own, a non-compete kept the worker locked in place and unable to freely switch to a job that didn't conflict with their religious practices. These accounts, she said, pointed to a basic reality of how robbing people of their economic liberty also robs them of all sorts of freedoms. The FTC estimates about 30 million people, or one in five American workers, from minimum wage earners to CEOs, are bound by non-competes. It says the policy change could lead to increased wages, totaling nearly $300 billion per year by encouraging people to swap jobs freely. The ban, which will take effect later this year, carves out the exception for existing non-competes that companies have given their senior executives on the grounds that these agreements are more likely to have been negotiated. The FTC says employers should not enforce other existing non-compete agreements. The vote was 3-2 along party lines, as you would imagine. Okay. So that's the background. That's what you need to know. And clearly there's going to be some opposition to this. There's going to be a lot of discussion around this. The first one we're going to discuss is in a Becker's article, Hospitals Slam FTC's Non-Compete Ban. And I will save you, let's start here. The Federal Trade Commission on April 23rd voted 3-2 to ban non-compete agreements in a move it estimates will save up to $194 billion in healthcare costs over the next decade. Though the FTC recognized that it does not have jurisdiction over nonprofit entities, it reserved the right to evaluate an entity's nonprofit status, which would include a significant portion of the U.S. hospitals. Specifically, the agency said that some portion of the 58% of hospitals that claim tax-exempt status as nonprofits and the 19% of hospitals that are identified as state and local government hospitals in the data cited by the AHA, American Hospital Association, likely fall under the commission's jurisdiction and the final rule's purview. The final rule would have significant implications for the healthcare industry and has been described by Federation of American Hospital President and CEO Chip Kahn as a double whammy against hospitals. The ban makes it more difficult to recruit and retain caregivers to care for patients, while at the same time creating an anti-competitive, unlevel playing field between tax-paying and tax-exempt hospitals, a result the FTC rule precisely intended to prevent, Mr. Kahn said in a statement shared with Becker's. In a time of constant healthcare workforce shortages, the FTC's vote today threatens access to high-quality care for millions of patients. About 18% of the U.S. workforce, or 30 million people, is covered by non-compete agreements. We covered that already. Skip that. Non-compete clauses keep wages low, suppress new ideas, and rob American economy of dynamism, including more than 8,500 new startups that would be created a year once non-competes are banned, FTC Chair Lina Khan said in the news release. The FTC expects final rule to drive innovation. Let's see, in the U.S. economy overall, the FTC projects that banning non-competes will drive 2.7% growth in the U.S. economy. The AHA had urged the FTC to withdraw the non-compete ban or exempt the hospital field amid staffing shortages that are projected to affect hospitals and health systems far beyond the pandemic. It also argued that the agency erred by seeking to create a one-size-fits-all rule for employees across all industries. The agency's stubborn insistence on issuing this sweeping rule, despite mountains of contrary legal precedent and evidence about its adverse impacts on the healthcare market, is further proof that the agency has little regard for its place in our constitutional order. A general counsel, Chad Golder, said in an April 23rd statement shared with Becker's. Three unelected officials should not be permitted to regulate the entire U.S. economy and stretch their authority far beyond what Congress had granted, including by claiming the power to regulate certain tax-exempt nonprofit organizations. The AHA added that in its estimation, the only saving grace is that the rule will likely be short-lived, with courts expected to weigh in on the rule before it can do damage to hospitals' ability to care for their patients or communities. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has indicated that it will challenge the rule. The FTC said it has received more than 26,000 comments, which we covered before. And you can read the 570-page rule right here on a link on the Becker's article. All right, so what's the so what? We haven't done this in a while. I usually end each story with a so what. The so what is, this is a big deal. It's a big deal for healthcare. It's a big deal for anyone who is in business. It is very difficult to operate without the ability to put non-competes in place because it, to a certain extent, when you bring somebody in as an employee, you can reveal, you almost have to reveal the inner workings of your company. You have to reveal a whole bunch of things to that effect. So I understand why non-competes are in place. So if you reveal like the secrets of your company and that person can leave tomorrow and start a new company and compete against you, it doesn't, the hiring process becomes very difficult in that scenario. All right. That's just in normal business. In healthcare, I think the FTC did overreach here. I think there was an obvious distinction, and you saw it in the Becker's article where they said the one rule, one size fits all rule is not what was needed here. And it's absolutely not what was needed here. And I agree that we shouldn't lock all employees. If you're signing on to be a minimum wage employee, there's a good chance you're not getting access to company secrets and those kinds of things. Those kinds of non-competes are silly and I think an egregious use of power by the business owners. On the other hand, I think that there's effective uses of non-competes amongst the executive ranks that need to be adhered to. And I think they're right in saying that a lot of those are negotiated. When you sign on at a certain level within an organization, you will essentially say, look, I'll sign that non-compete, but if you're going to give me the non-compete, I want an extra bonus. I want more compensation. I want, because it locks me up. That stuff happens all the time at the executive level. There's no reason to strike those down. In fact, it's almost hurtful. It's damaging to the economy to strike those things down. But I agree that there's nuance in this. One size fits all is probably the problem with what had happened here. And they needed a rule that was more nuanced and took into account the different types of situations that people were facing. What's the so what where you live? Keep an eye on this. It's a big deal if it stays into effect. If it doesn't stay into effect, it's not that big of a deal. I cover the story not to give you any massive insight. I cover the story more to just make sure that you're aware of it. It's something that people will be talking about. People might have the wrong perception if they don't stay up to date on this. Because again, this will be challenged and it will likely change. The FTC, in this case, likely did overstep their bounds. We'll see how it transpires as we go forward. That's all for today. Don't forget, share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Use it as a foundation for mentoring. We want to thank our channel sponsors. In fact, if you're mentoring somebody, ask them, what's the effective use of a non-compete? Would you sign a non-compete? In what cases would you sign a non-compete? Just some questions. If you're listening to this with a friend or colleague or someone you're mentoring, those are some questions that you might ask. Anyway, here we go. We want to thank our channel sponsors who are investing in our mission to develop the next generation of health leaders. Notable, ServiceNow, Enterprise Health, Parlance, Certify Health, and Panda Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com. www.cybersecurityinsights.com/today. Thanks for listening. That's all for now.